Lord, I just pray you touch every need here today, Lord, so you'd be glorified in the message and the speaking and all that we do. And, oh, Lord, you're so special, Lord. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You say amen, all the people said. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our little ones. Thank you, God, for that generation of boys and girls who proclaim the name of Jesus. I thank you for Margarita and for all the work she's doing with our children's ministry. Bless her, encourage her, God. And I pray that today, as those children learn about you, that those seeds will be planted deep into their hearts, God, that they will grow up to be men and women, mighty men and women of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You remember, maybe some of you have little kids, but I remember when my children were small and they would come and they'd maybe drawn a picture with crayons for me, or mostly for their mom. You know, they'd bring it to their mom, but, you know, I was there too. And, you know, it didn't really matter what it looked like. Remember that? It didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter when they're 4 years old how, you know, how they colored, whether they colored in the lines or whether they were all over the map. And believe me, you know, we had boys and they were all over the map. You know, I think girls are a lot more careful maybe, but it didn't matter, right? And that's, I really think that's how it is with God too. It doesn't matter if you start a song off key. It doesn't matter what key you're in. It doesn't matter whether we sound professional. It doesn't matter whether everything fits perfectly. It doesn't matter, because he is your Abba Father, and he just loves, he loves whatever you bring him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? Yeah. He loves whatever you bring him. It doesn't matter what gift it is. It doesn't matter what your worship is. He says, oh, bring it to me. Let me see it. And he looks at, you know what he says? I'm going to put this on my fridge. This is going on the fridge. Because you're my child, you're my daughter, and because it's precious to me. Thank God for that. I'm just so grateful for that. And I was thinking, as we sang that song this morning, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, I wondered, is that really true? Is that really our prayer? Is that really my prayer? Lord, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. Is that really where we're at? Is that really what we want to say to God? Do we really dare to pray that prayer? God, have your way, whatever you want to do here. Whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you decide to do, God, in my business or in my marriage, in my family, God, have your way. Is that really our prayer? That's a big prayer. I think it's the right prayer. It was years ago that someone decided or suggested, they said, this should be called Potter's Hands. And if that's really true, then that needs to be our prayer. Don't you agree? You know? We've got to come to God and say, God, this is, everything is yours. Every part of this is yours. You are going to lead us. You do what you want to do. And whatever that is, God, wherever you go, we're going to follow you. We are the clay. We're not the potter. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get that mixed up a little bit. I'm not the potter. I'm the clay. God, you're the potter. You're the one who molds and you shape us. And Father, sometimes when you push with your thumbs, it hurts a little bit. Sometimes there's a little bit of pressure there, and you're teaching me, and you're shaping me, and it isn't always fun, but you're the potter, and we invite you today to have your way, God. We expect you to have your way, because you are God, and I'm not. Amen? We're here to worship him. I hope that's why you've come. We're here to hear his word and to give him everything we have, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be genuine. All it needs to be is from your heart and say, this is what I have to offer you, God. We're here today because we're saved by grace. Amen? We're saved by grace through the gift of God, and that's what grace is. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ. We're saved. And because that's true, we should come with great rejoicing. We should come with great anticipation, because God is here, and he wants to speak. We're going to, later on, we come to the Lord's table, and we're going to stand in a circle. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to praise God. We're going to rebuild some things that the enemy has destroyed. Did you hear that? We're going to be doing some rebuilding. We're going to be standing in unity. We're going to eat from one loaf. We are going to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, because he said, as you do this, you proclaim that I am your king. You proclaim that I died for you. You proclaim that your only life is in me. And you are to come and do this regularly, because it's a proclamation. It's a witness to each other, but it's a witness to the world or people who aren't Christians here today. It's a witness that we really believe that Jesus died for us. He gave his body, he gave his blood, so that we could really, truly live. We live abundantly. Amen? Thank you, God. Before we open God's word, there's just a couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention. And they're kind of announcements. You know, I'm not big on announcements. I'm not good at them. That's probably the truth. But I just want to remind you that next Sunday, we're going to have, it's on Father's Day. And it's also Pentecost, by the way. Be praying this week about the Holy Spirit. You know, Pentecost is a time we celebrate when the Holy Spirit came for his church. Next Sunday, there's a barbecue. I believe the hamburgers or the hot dogs are provided, right? And we're going to meet at Mackenzie Trail. And there'll be signs up. Give us a general direction of where it is. Okay. Okay, so north by 55th Street. If you don't know where it is, talk to Arlene. And bring a salad or bring a dessert. Let's have a picnic together. It's a, what's that? Oh, so it's not next week? See, that's why I need you all here. I'd have been there with my salad, wondering where all you guys were. So, okay, so it's not next week, it's the week after. Okay, there's kind of important to know that. Another thing is we have some real interest in doing a vacation Bible school this year. There's a lady who is actually the daughter of Pat, who brought that vision here about a month ago. Remember that older lady who spoke about vision and about unity of the church? Her daughter does different vacation Bible schools, and she has a whole program laid out about the resurrection and the life. And from July 20th to the, I guess it's the 21st to the 25th or whatever it is, Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we're going to try to hold up a vacation Bible school and invite children from the downtown or from wherever to come. We could use some helpers and some teachers. So if there's anyone interested in that at all, please see me. Or you see Margarita, who's the lady there standing in the back corner there. We'd love to see this happen. You know, there's a lot of people who have come to know the Lord. They began their relationship with Jesus Christ through a vacation Bible school or through a summer camp. I see a few people even put their hands up saying, that was me, man. I came to know Jesus through that. And if someone's coming to help us with this, and she's done this many times. So if you're free and you want to be part of that, let me know. Yeah, okay. You're already in then. And then one other thing was, I've been asked by Camp Living Water just to mention that they are really in need of cooks and lifeguards. Cooks and lifeguards for the month of August. And I know that Dave is involved with that and Marilise has been involved with that. If you are able to cook, I think there's less requirements for cooking than for being a lifeguard. So if you can't swim, you can't probably do the lifeguard thing. But if you can cook or bake eggs or I don't know what you do, make macaroni. You want to be a part of that? Again, come and see me, and let's bless Pastor Larry and people in the Living Water, Camp Living Water. Again, you know, there's been so many great things happening there. It's a ministry. It's a camp to Native children, and they're come to know Jesus. So if God lays it on your heart and he says, why don't you spend a week out there, don't say no. We've been talking lately about opportunities, that God gives us opportunities, and that we know how to use those opportunities. In the last few weeks, different people have stood up and talked about how God, you know, put someone in front of them, or they led someone to Christ, or they prayed with someone. You know, we don't want to miss the opportunities that God gives us. So many times in our lives, we walk through life, and You know, we're like that horse with blinders on, and I know I'm that way. You know, I got to do this. I got this to go. My phone is ringing. I've got to get home. You know, my wife's got supper made or whatever it is, right? There's things that we miss the opportunities. God wants to use us. It's the greatest privilege is that he says, I'm going to include you in building my kingdom. Now, I could build my kingdom without you. I don't need you to build my kingdom. But because I love you, because you're my daughter and my son, I want you to be a part of this because it is the most exciting enterprise in all of the world. You're going to build the kingdom with me. So don't miss the opportunities. Don't miss it. The lost, go ahead. It's all through August. That one is all through August. You could pick a week. So don't miss the opportunities. God's given them to us. And I have a great blessing in my life, or just being a pastor, is I get people's texts, I get their stories, sometimes I hear from you. I know some are laughing, it's not always a blessing, those texts, but they are often a blessing because people are telling me what's going on. You know, hey, I got to share Christ, or I spoke, you know, a prayer for someone, or, you know, I'm so excited about this because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he did not put us here just to sit in a padded chair. You hear me? He didn't put you here just to sit in a padded chair. He put you here so you'd be sent out, so that your light would shine, so that you could tell someone about Jesus, so that maybe even you could say to someone, hey, do you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart? Because he's ready to do that. You have the power and the ability to do that. He gives that to you. You just need to be available. You need to be available. Amen? So we open God's word. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for what you're teaching us about your heart for the lost. You care about the person who's on the street or the person whose marriage is broken or however it is, Lord, in our lives that we find ourselves at a distance from you. You care about us, and you want to see us home. You want to bring us back. You want to enfold your arms around us. Thank you, Jesus. I know, Lord, that you're giving us great opportunities and you're beginning to open our eyes by the power of your Spirit to see that there are people out there that we can minister to and that we can pray with, that we can lead to you. I pray that you'll continue to teach us today, that your word today would be proclaimed in a way that's truthful and honest, and that it speaks clearly of what your intention is and what you want us to hear today. Let your word be a light unto our path and a lamp to our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, we're back in Luke chapter 15, and some of you know that because we've been doing this for, I don't know, how many weeks, 6 or 7 weeks? But we're finding that there's so much in here. You agree? This is another good example of a parable or a few parables where Jesus tells us the story and it's just rich. It's filled with all kinds of stuff that you go, wow, I missed that. Or I didn't know that unless I really spent some time on it. You got to dig deep sometimes and then you see really what Jesus is meaning. Today, we read in Luke chapter 15 and we're to the part where the son has returned home. The younger son has returned home. And we're going to get the reaction today of the older son and of the father. We're going to start reading in Luke 15, verse 21. So the son returns home. Remember this. He's practiced the speech. So all the way, remember last week we talked about it's a long way home. Coming back is a long way back. It's a long and winding road, like the Beatles said. They were right about that. And he's practicing this speech. He's saying it over and over again. Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm not worthy to be called your son. He's practicing this. I got to tell my dad this. It's going to be hard to do. We read in verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted, it should say, because he doesn't let him finish his spiel. The father interrupted and he said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead. Okay. I did say that I wanted that. I just didn't want it quite yet. Can we leave it on that for, and hold that thought. We'll get back to that. Boy, nothing like stealing the punchline. Okay, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and so they began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost. He's found." Amen? We have a God who seeks out the lost. We have a God who's got a heart for those who are far away. We've got a God who cares about those who aren't saved. He cares about people who are addicted. He cares about individuals whose marriages have fallen apart. He cares about every one of you. And so let's start with that today, that God loves you. And not just me and not just Jason. God loves you. And today, you need to own that. You need to confess that. My God loves me. He really loves me. I was going to start this morning by asking you who the main character is in this parable. Who is the main character? Is it the father? Is it the older son? Is it the younger son? Who's the main character? Who's the main character in this play, in this drama? And then I was going to show you the picture. So now you can show the picture. You may not agree with this, but I think that a case could be made, and I'm going to try to make it today, that really the main character in the whole story is the calf, or the fat cow, or the fattened calf. And I want to spend a little time this morning looking at that. In the passage that we read, three times this fattened calf is referred to. I'm going to just remind you of that again. So it's referred to when the father sees his son coming home. The father sees his son coming home, and he says, "Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring that fattened calf and kill it." Second time is the brother, the older brother. He comes home. He's been working on the field. He's been a good brother. He's doing all that good thing that he's supposed to be doing. He says, "What's going on here? Who threw the party?" And he's told by one of the other servants, "Your father has killed the fattened calf." And then the third time is in verse 30, where we're told that older brother says to his dad this time, he says, "You know, that brother of yours," or that son of yours, he won't even own him as a brother. He says, "That son of yours, he has squandered your property with prostitutes," and he comes home, and then you kill the fattened calf. So he's a main actor. He's a main player in this drama. And what I think you need to know to start off with is that this is not, and this is a really important thing, you got to get this. This is not a fattened calf, it is the fattened calf. As a matter of fact, the direct article in the Greek language suggests that this could be interpreted as that fattened calf. When you kill that fattened calf, is what the brother's saying. Or the father says, get the, doesn't just say go and get a fattened calf. He says, go get the, you know which one. It's a particular one. Go get the fattened calf. So the message is, if you read this carefully, is that this is a calf that's been around for a while. And that's what you got to understand today. This is not just one of many calves that happen to be in the fattened calf pen, where there's seven of them. There's one calf. And it is the one. It is that fattened calf. It's the one that they're going to kill when the son returns. Are you understanding that? Now that's pretty important. And I think there's a lot of meaning in that. And what it really means is that that fattened calf is symbolic for the father and symbolic for the older son and symbolic for the younger son. And they all kind of say something, and there's, you can almost hear the verbal part of it that comes from the father and comes from the two sons. For the father, that fattened calf, that huge fat calf that has been fed for who knows how many months, every day growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Every day they're pumping 7 or 10 pounds of grain into him, and he just keeps getting fatter. And he was, maybe this went on for 2 years. You know, we don't know for sure, but maybe this calf was, you know, 2,500 pounds. He's not a fat calf anymore. He's a heavy heifer, right? He is a fat bovine. He is over fat because the father has been feeding this. He's saying to his servants, that's the calf. That's the one. Keep feeding it. You feed it. You give it a bucket of grain. You give it another bucket of grain until my boy comes home. Amen? And that father, for the father, that calf is a symbol of hope, isn't it? It's a symbol of hope. That every day when he walked around his farm and he looked in the pen where that fat, fat calf was, he'd go, that's the calf we're going to kill when my boy gets home. And he is going to come home. That calf was a symbol of hope and of belief. Right? There's great faith. We're not killing this calf for any other reason but that my son will return. And I believe it. That's really what he's saying, that there's faith in this. There's great faith in this. He is coming home. My son is going to return. And every day when that father walked through his farmyard and he looked at that calf again, it was like another reminder to pray and another reminder that his son one day will be back in the fold where he belongs. Now, for the older brother, it was totally different. That calf was not a symbol of hope. That fat calf was a symbol of how ridiculous his dad was and how wayward and how useless his brother was. And every time that older brother saw that calf or fed it, because maybe that was his job, right? Every time he fed that calf and cleaned up after him, because whatever goes in one end comes out the other. Every time he was in that pen, cleaning out the pen, taking care of that fat calf again, which he thought, man, we should have killed a long time ago because he's over fat now. Every time that son, the resentment built up in him and the bitterness built up in him. And he would mutter to himself, why do I got to keep feeding this calf? What is wrong with dad? Dad's gone mad. Dad doesn't know what he's doing anymore. We should have had a party with this calf a long time ago. Now he's 2,500 pounds. We can't even roast him because he'll just burn up. All that fat, he's just going to go boom. Right? So the older brother, this is a symbol for him of bitterness and of resentment. And it's wearing on him. It's wearing on him. He's the anger and the grudge. That's the word. The grudge just keeps building. You know, as the calf grows, the grudge grows. Now, for the youngest son, the prodigal, who comes home, you know, this calf is also a symbol. And I love the symbol. Because the younger brother, he comes home. He's no dummy either. He was raised on a farm. And when dad says, let's kill the fattened calf, and he's got a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and his dad slapping on the back, and he goes, let's throw a party. This is the best day of my life. You know, the youngest son sees the calf come brought in, and he goes, whoa, dad, what did you do? Where'd you get that humongous thing from? Well, son, we started raising that calf when you left. The day you left, we started feeding that calf grain. And that's the calf. That's the calf that we're going to kill now that you're home. And you see, for the younger son, that was a sign of the father's love, isn't it? The father's great love for his son. That, you know, he must have looked at that calf and he must have said to himself, wow, my dad never stopped believing that I was going to come home. My dad loves me. He literally could do this. my dad loves me this much, right? Because that's the fatted calf, right? And that's sort of the story. That's how the story unfolds. That's how the story unfolds. And we're reminded that, you know, God is that kind of a God, that he chases after us and that he knows when you're going to come home. Amen? God knows. There's a couple of big questions. There's a why question and there's a when question. That I know some of you are sleeping, so wake up. I'm serious. Wake up, because this is important. Okay, thank you. There's a why question and there's a when question. God's word is speaking today. We need to listen to this. The when question is a question that a lot of us ask. It's, when is he going to come home? When is my son coming back? How many of you are waiting for someone to come back? How many of you have a prodigal in the family? Okay. Isn't that an important question? Don't you have that question sometimes? When is this going to happen, Lord? Maybe it's not even about a prodigal. Maybe it's about a business, or it's about a relationship, or it's about your life. Or you know, we ask that question of God. Well, when, God? When? I keep praying, and all that really happens is that calf gets fatter, but I don't see my son coming. When is this going to happen, Lord? And we're told that, and I think this is a very cool thing, but we're told that the father waited for his son, and that when the son finally came to his senses, and as he was returning home, we're told that the father started running towards the son. But he didn't do it prior to that. And I think that's a telling thing. You know, the father doesn't run to the far country and give the son $20, and he says, hey, I know things are going rough. Here, take some money. Come back home when you want to come back home. You know, the father doesn't do that. The father doesn't. You know what the father does? He does nothing. He waits. He prays. He watches. And he probably says to God in his prayers, God, when? When is this going to happen? And God's answer is always the same. When I say so, it will happen. And when that son starts to come home, then we're told the father ran. That's the only time he runs. He doesn't run prior to that. But when you see, here's the message. If you see your son or your daughter or someone who's lost in your life or someone you're praying for, you see them start to head home, it's time to run. It's time that you run to them. It's time that you love them. It's time that you tell them that there's hope and that they're on the right track, and you keep it up. You're heading back. Keep going back. Keep heading back. It's a time to run. It's a time to just open your arms and say, I know you're ready now. We've been waiting. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for you. It seems that, you know, while they're waiting, and this is a hard thing, but sometimes we watch our children or we watch people that we love waste away. Isn't that true? Spiritually, sometimes physically, we watch them waste away. We have this image, we have this picture, and Rick, that's when I thought about you today. I think this would make a great picture. I'm not an artist at all. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. But I love the picture. You have this image here of, on the one hand, there's this huge fat calf that's sort of, I have this vision or this picture. On the one side of the page, there's this big calf that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. On the other side of the page is this picture of a son who's got his shirt off, and he's working in the pig pen, and he just gets skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. And that's the picture that is painted for us in this parable, that for every pound that goes on the fattened calf, it's being lost from the prodigal son. And God says, this will happen in my time. And you need to hear this today. So listen. This is going to happen in my time. It's always about God's perfect timing. And his timing is so much better than mine. And yet, I think a lot of times what we do is we try to encourage God, or we try to push him along, or we prod him and say, God, well, come on. This seems like everything's perfect now, God. The timing is awesome for this, God. Do this now. And we want God to move faster. We want God to do what we think he should be doing. And we're acting like the potter. We're not acting like the clay anymore, right? Do you agree with me? Sometimes we think we know when the timing is right. And it's so hard for us to sit back and say, okay, God, you are It's your timing. You are perfect, and you know exactly when this needs to happen. Our timing is not very good, okay? Our timing, you think you know what's right, or me. I think I know, you know, when the right time for something would be, and most of the time, not at all. God's timing is right. Let's sing a song a minute. You see if you can sing this, you know, Amazing Grace. Most white people, and I can say this because I'm white, sing Amazing, or clap to Amazing Grace by doing this. Amazing Grace, sweet the sound. That's how white people clap. I know you're wondering where I'm going with this. You'll get to it. Black people, or other people, sorry, they clap on the offbeat. You know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. So let's do it. Ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Okay, you guys, see, you can't clap. So here's the point. If your timing is that bad when it comes to clapping, maybe we should, if we can't even clap on the offbeat, maybe we should just let God take care of the timing when it comes to all the bigger things as well, right? God's timing, yeah. We can do that well. God's timing is impeccable. God's timing, God knows exactly what he is doing in your life and what he's doing in your son's life. We're told in Galatians that when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That only happened when the time had fully come. And in Romans 5, he says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It happened at just the right time. Or another way to translate that is it happened in the nick of time. Or it happened when the world was in the 10th centimeter of birth, you know. It was right at the very moment that it had to happen. It had to happen. So when you ask the when question in your life, and we all do that, when, God? When is my life going to get better? When are my kids going to come back to you? When are you going to come again, Jesus? When are you going to fix the mess that is everywhere and all the brokenness? When? Yeah, listen to him. Because he says, in my time, and I will do this in your life when the time is fully come. Amen? Then the second question, we're going to end on this, is that it's the why question. Because let's be honest that when we read this parable and you read this story about, you know, a son who returns, and there's some why questions here. You know, why? Why, Father? Why does this father, you know, receive his son back home like he does? Why is there no probation period? Why doesn't he, you know, say to him, but wait a minute, mister. You and I are going to have a talk first before you come back. And then when we do come back, there's going to be a few things you're going to have to do around here. Why? Why is this son treated? You know, someone said to me this week, it seems so unfair. There's something unfair about this parable because I can relate to the older brother. I can understand that. And we say, why? Why does this happen like this, right? It seems unfair that they're treated the same. It seems like the one who's faithful and the one who's always there, you know, doesn't get the respect that he should be getting. Why does the father welcome his son home in the way that he does? Why does he throw that big celebration? And the only answer for that is it's because of grace. And from our side of things, some of this doesn't seem fair. It doesn't. We can look at God, we say, God, you're not fair. And yet God is always just. Right? And it's about his grace. His grace treats us all the same when we are washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen? It's like the story that Jesus tells about the employer who hires a bunch of people, and he hires some people early in the morning, and he hires others late at the night, and some of them have worked 10 hours, and others have only worked 1 hour, and he says, and I'll pay them all exactly the same. And we go, well, that's not fair. And God goes, yeah, it is, because it's my money, and because I'm God, and because that's what my grace is. My grace is sufficient for every single one. My grace is doled out to you all in the same measure. My grace doesn't seem fair, but it was paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son. Amen? You get that? So it's about God's grace, and that's what the whole parable, that's what all these parables were about, is that God's grace is such an overwhelming, amazing grace that he just says, come to me. And it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done, and the truth is I don't keep record of your wrongs. And I do not treat you as your sins deserve. Is that really what you want? Do you want fairness? No. Because if you want fairness, you're all condemned. I open my arms, he says, and I'll treat you as my son or my daughter because you have been redeemed. I can do this because I've purchased you with my blood, Jesus says. And the only thing that we bring is our repentance. The only thing that God requires of us is that we come to him with a heart that is humble and contrite, and where we say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry, Father. I own up to what I've done. And that's the only thing. You know how that moves God's heart? Do you believe that? Are you following me a little bit today? That, you know what, really, you want to move God? You say, I'm sorry. God goes, oh, that moves my heart. I'm sorry, Father, I'm sorry because I've sinned. I'm sorry for I've sinned. When we do that, the Bible says that he pours out his grace into our lives without limit. I'm sorry, God. I repent. And I think we do this poorly. I think we know about repentance when it comes to salvation, but what about repentance when it comes to my daily life and when it comes to me coming before Jesus and saying, I need to be made clean again? God, you need to know my heart, and you need to know the motives of my heart, and I need to confess my desires even. These may not even be things I've done, but they are the desires of my heart that I lay down at your altar. When we turn to God, when we lay it all out like that, he stands at the fence post line and he says, come home. Amen? Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me. I'll give you rest. So I want to ask you a hard question this morning. When's the last time you really did a heart exam? What's going on in your heart? And why are you reluctant to confess it? Why are you reluctant to ask God to forgive you? Why can't we be honest with him and say, God, this is who I really am, and I need you to wash me clean? When's the last time that you did some inventory in your life and you stood before God and you said, Lord, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. We talk about a revival happening. We talk about a move of God's Spirit. It will never happen until we learn to get on our knees. Until we learn to cleanse our hearts. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. And renew a right spirit, or a willing spirit within me. I want you to just close your eyes a bit this morning. We come as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. I really believe that we need a few minutes here to just reflect. I want you to think about your life, and I'm going to think about mine, and where we stand before God. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about how we're living day to day. I know that when we're saved, we need to repent. There's an initial repentance. We come to God, but we also need to come to God on a daily basis and pray for that cleansing. Remember, we started in Revelation 2, verse 5, when he says, go back to the beginning. You know, look how far you've fallen, he says. And it's time. Let me just read that for you. Just keep your eyes closed and listen. This is where God began to lead us in his word before we got to the parables. But listen to what he says to the church in Ephesus. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first.
So Lord, we humble ourselves, and we need to face you today. We've been running, and we've been in a foreign country, we've been in a pig pen, and it isn't even sometimes the things that we have done, it's the things that we think, it's our motives, our attitude. Even our desires, Lord. Sometimes we've wandered far from you and haven't even realized it. And we do it together so it doesn't seem so bad. And together this morning, we simply want to say we're sorry. Sorry, God. Draw us back to you, to your love, to your wide open arms. I thank you, Jesus, for that picture of that fat calf. Not just a fattened calf, but a truly fat calf. That is a symbol of your grace, your mercy, and your enduring love. We want to return. We return to you. And we come to your table to remember and believe that your grace is enough. Just like we sang earlier, your grace is sufficient, your grace is enough. And that you dole out, you hand out as much grace as we need. And you're not very interested in being fair. You don't even remember our sins anymore. And you do not hold our sins against us. That all you care about is the party. All you care about is the celebration, the returning home. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I want to also thank you for the sacrifice. Because we understand today that there is no redemption without blood. That there's no returning to the Father without a fatted calf on the altar. That there's no Savior without Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For all that you suffered, for everything you gave, for going all the way to the cross, even though you didn't want to go. For carrying all the weight of all the world, of all the sin. All we can say is thank you, God. Thank you for life, and thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that you're a God of new beginnings and new starts. And there's some of us here this morning, we need that new start. We need to begin again with you, and that you're always ready to do that. Hallelujah. Just worship you. As we come with joy because you restore us as sons and daughters of the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise you, God. Just draw us this morning to you. I'm going to sing a song. You can sing it with me and just cleanse your heart today. And all you need to do to cleanse your heart is to ask Jesus to do it. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Just cry out to God. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Refine as fire, my heart's one desire is to be set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. We're going to come to the front. We're going to stand in a circle. Andy and Karen are going to bring the bread and the juice around. So while we sing another song, let's stand in a big circle. If you're not able to stand, you can sit in one of the edges. That's fine. But we want to stand together. We're going to come to the Lord's table.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Let your soul sing.
Then sing my soul. How great thou art, how great thou art, then sing my
Betrayed, he took bread. Does everyone have bread? We'll make sure no one's missing. He took the bread and he was with his disciples, his dearest friends, and he knew. He knew that the next day his life would be demanded of him. He knew that he would suffer in ways that we can't even imagine, that no words can describe. He knew. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the blood, there's life. And when he poured his blood out for you and for me, he made it so that we could live. You are alive today because of him. Do you know that? Amen? In the blood, there's life. And because there's life, we live. And we live a life that is abundant. And we will live a life that is, we are living a life that is eternal. Forever and ever and ever with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he purchased you with his blood. He purchased you. The Bible says whoever repents, Whoever confesses his sins, that the Father is faithful and just, and he will forgive you, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. As you drink, remember that you are clean, completely and entirely. This is my body, he says, I poured for you. Lord, I come, so I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one, Lord, that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. We're sin right. Your grace is more, where grace is found,
oh Lord,
it's where you are, where you are, Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me, Lord, I need you, oh. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My Lord, defend my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Amen? So we have come. We've tasted to see how good God is. We've cried out to him and said, God, I need you. How many people need God today? Amen. All right. Now we leave with praise, and we have a few minutes, and it's so important that we do this, that we have eaten at the Lord's table. We say, thank you, God. Thank you for who you are, for your blood. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this body. How do you thank him today? What would you say to God? Yeah. Good words. Thank you, God. You accept me for the way I was, and you've made me into something brand new. Come on, what are you thankful for? Thank you that you speak to me. What did you say, lunch? Yeah. Thank you, God, for this day. Good. Amen to that. That's right. Amen. Amen. You were near death, my friend. God touched and healed you, and it's proper to thank him. Yeah. So even if you feel alone today, you're not alone. You might feel lonely, but you're not alone. God's with you. Good word. Yes, Merlise. Yeah. Thank you that Jesus is our personal Savior. Thank you, God. Come on, let's raise up a mighty voice of gratitude to God. Yeah, Frank. He crushes him with his heel. Irrevocably. Chris. Amen. Can you hear that? For his promises that we know are true. The promises of God. Can you say thank you, Lord? Let's clap. Come on. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chris. Listen up, guys. Just listen now. I've always loved you. Yeah, amen. Thank you, God. I will never leave you or forsake you. Dougie. Amen. Thank you, God. He who began a good work will carry it out. He's not done with you. Thank you, God, for your eternal grace and mercy in our lives. To Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. Yes. Thank you, God. Yes, Mary. Amen. Did you hear that? We got to just listen. She said, for the Holy Spirit who works in us and who speaks. Yeah. Amen. A changed heart. Do you have a changed heart? Is it different than it used to be? Is it really? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, brother. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to get it out. So whether Mary says it or you or someone else, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the family of God and for fellowship. Amen? Thank you that I'm not alone. I am not alone. Thank you that you are real, that you, God, are real. You are authentic. You are genuine. You show yourself. Amen? He's a God who reveals himself. Okay, that's all mine. Couple more. Who else? Okay. That's good. Yes. He is. Amen. Let me repeat that because you might not have heard that, but it's just, again, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that we get wisdom, we get words. You know, sometimes you get into that situation, you just don't know what you're going to say, but God gives us the words because his Holy Spirit dwells within me. Amen. Amen. Jesus the same. He never changes. That's a good word. Someone here today needs to hear that, to listen to it. Jesus is the same. He doesn't change. You might think that he loves you less than he did. It's not true. Or you might think he's revealing himself to you less. That's not true either. You might think that he is more distant. It is not he who has grown distant from you. He is the same today and yesterday and forevermore. Someone needed to hear that today. Maybe more than one of us. Thank you, God. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, God, for your word. Hallelujah. Just be still. Yeah. You say amen to that? Yeah. God is so good. He's redeemed my life from the pit. You know, when I see that picture of that fat cow, I know that in my life there's a cow at least that fat that God had to feed. And he kept it on the back burner, waiting for me to return. He fed that, in my life, he fed that cow for 8 years or 9 years. Some of you maybe even longer. Let's thank God again. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we leave, I'm going to give you a parting blessing that comes from God's word, but I'm going to remind you of something. And so just hear what God says, that you are redeemed. You are a redeemed daughter. You are a redeemed son of the King. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. And when you repent, when you break your heart before me, I'm just ready to fill you. And I want to fill you with the power of my Holy Spirit. I want to fill you with a love that you cannot generate on your own. It's a love that can only come from me. And I want you to know, he says, I want you to know that you belong to me. And that I put you here for this very purpose, that you will be my church and that you will build my kingdom. That you will join me in building the kingdom that I have established through my son, Jesus Christ. That I love you. That I will never, ever let you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. You know what that word means? It's a big smile. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may God give you his peace. Amen. We're going to learn a song. Anyone who wants to stay and worship for a bit, we're going to learn a new song. But go in the power. Go in the power that God gave you or gives you. Oh, I need a pick. You got a pick? Lord, I look to you. No, I don't have my glasses. Oh, here they are.
Lord, I look to you.